What do you guys want to talk about?
We could start with the movie.
Did we talk about that last time?
The movie you guys did the action figures for?
Yeah.
No, you should talk about that.
Toy Federation Podcast, Episode 5A, Take 1. So, are we ready?
Ready.
Ready.
All right. We're back.
Get this and table. Live.
And we got these really cool guys on the table.
With a Z.
And this
guys.
Guys. So the story... with these, it's my buddy Jimmy. He'll get that too because he's always like, guys.
Guys.
So these figures are just maybe three of 40 figures we made for
at least
for a movie. And the cool part about this movie was we had been, somebody called and it was from Apple Studios and they're like, we're doing this movie involving toys. You know, you don't get a whole lot of details. And would you be able to supply toys for this film? And I'm like, well, that's such a generically broad statement, but I have all these toys. So I need a little bit more information. And then they start telling me there's a scene in the film that takes place in 19. And I could be off a little bit here, but 1985. And then there's a scene that takes place in
95.
Then when was the 81?
That was 80.
I thought it was 85 and 94.
Yeah. It one was a 5 and a 4. It might have been 84, 95.
Right.
But anyway.
So, and then it came down to getting licensing. So right. I was like, well, but then they had this total misunderstanding about how to use the. So they said, all right, we're doing a piece and we're going to recreate a show. And I think that was part of the reason, because running Retro Toy Con, they wanted vendors to do a show that took place in that year.
Mm-hmm.
And then...
Well, the other thing was it was historical. So it took place...
Right.
Like at a real event.
Right.
And they told us that, but then we still did research for it and said, oh, well, this wasn't the toy show. This was a toy show.
They get way down the line and then we realize, I was like, I need to see a lot more information because I can't help you if I don't know what we're doing.
Right.
And they said, well, we need booths for a show, let's say 1985. And so we need the G.I. Joe and the He-Man and the Star Wars and all this stuff. And I was like, none of those things would be at a show in that year because those are currently in the stores that you could buy. So a show that took place in the 80s would have to have 60s and 70s toys. Mm-hmm. And the thing is, there really wasn't toy shows then. So
no.
none of it made sense. So yeah. I said, you're going to like, there was comic shows. So then I'm like, I need more information. So then we find out it's a trade show. So then I was like, well, now that's entirely different.
Sense.
But now you don't have vendors like who would set up at my show. It's manufacturers. It's not a open to the public show. It's a business to business show.
Right.
Kind of like Toy Fair in New York.
Yeah, nothing's sold. It's just putting on display and then you place an order.
So then I was like, but this makes it much more easier because now you don't have to fill booths with pegs of product like a vendor would have at a Comic-Con or a toy show. Now it's maybe
display.
The company who makes Easy Bake Oven has a grandma with an apron on and you go to that booth and they're actually baking stuff with it.
Here's some cookies for you.
Right. So then I was like, so now it's so much easier to populate your booth. So like if it was a He-Man booth, you build a castle and you put whatever the newest wave is and then you solicit your shops like Toys R Us or Child World or these different places. So now they didn't know any of this.
Right.
And then that's why they reached out to
Toyman,
the toy guy. And then we're going to do lanyards. And I was like, you don't have lanyards. There was no lanyards. Like it's name badges and everybody's dressed professionally. Nobody's in shorts and graphic tees. They're in ties and suits and it's very proper and order sheets.
they weren't even doing like costumes and stuff because it wasn't open to the public.
Right.
It was
right.
just, here's the product. Do you want to order it?
So when all was said and done, they didn't get the licensing to most of the companies. And then a lot of it just turns into, well, if this company is making the streaming on this platform, well, this other company has ties to this platform, so we're not giving you our licensing to use in your film because you're a competitor. And then you're just running out of licensing to use. But I think Mattel gave them the license and we did the best darn T-Man display you'd ever see.
That was sick.
Yeah.
That got totally cut out of the movie because
it was better.
The crazy thing was, so when we set that up, the He-Man booth was next. So this was a movie with Zach Galifianakis.
Mm-hmm.
And was it Elizabeth Smart?
Elizabeth Banks.
Elizabeth Banks. I don't even know who Smart is then. It's got to be somebody, right?
I'll tell you later.
Uh-oh. Oh, and then there you go. Well, it was somebody.
Right.
So the bank, And so, well, hey, I watched some true crime. Right?
Yeah.
So I'm with it.
Geez, I totally lost my thought now.
Well, so like they were making this movie and it was about.
Oh, so this is about the beanie. This is a Beanie Bubble and it was about Beanie Babies and the Thai guy who founded it and his rise to fame and then I guess the crash. And so. Our booth was so good, it was literally next to the Beanie Baby booth.
Yep.
Ty's booth. And so anytime they're filming in that booth, you're going to see this incredible He-Man and She-Ra display that we built. And
the set designers loved it, said, great, putting it right next to
the set designers like won Emmys or something.
Yeah.
They're like,
this is great.
And then when they walked... as the producer or the director and the director's wife or whoever it was, they walked around and then like, so then the next thing you know, they moved the booth all the way to the back because it upstaged.
It's too good.
It was too good.
Too good.
Yeah.
But the thing was, I was like, that's accurate. Cause Ty in the beginning, when he does his first trade show, he's a nobody.
Yeah.
And no one Mattel's knew. On top of the world with He-Man.
Oh yeah.
So it would, and then you fast forward maybe to 94 and Mattel's He-Man line's just dead. It's dead.
Then
maybe Ty's on top of the world. So the perspective would have been amazing. And the people who made the film didn't agree. And so it got shoved all the way to the back and it didn't even make the movie.
I thought that would have been so cool if they could have worked it into where like, you know, 84, 85, and maybe they're talking to the Mattel guy and he's like, guys are going to sell stuffed animals.
I think they have
Everybody's got them.
He's walking in the movie with a top hat and he's like this fancy to do and he was like a nobody. But anyway,
the movie is
funny.
Well, they told us it's just going to be as historically accurate as possible. And then
they didn't
came
even get the rights from Ty to use Beanie Babies. So they're not even Beanie Babies in the movie.
It looked more fantastic than like.
But it was cool.
It was fun doing it.
Back to these guys. So since they didn't have the licensing to do a lot of the major lines, they needed filler for the booths. So we came up with like 20 different booths. And we just created our own things because they didn't have the licensing. So we stayed up late at night assembling these and having the best time. And maybe we'll do it again.
Yeah.
So this line was called Wicked Warriors.
Z.
With a Z.
It's two Z's.
Two Z's. I don't know.
Warriors.
Warriors. So this is a sample from each of our creations. So this is the one I made. And this is Pumpkosis. The names are the best.
Yeah, they're out there.
All right. So you want to, Travis?
Trav?
This one's Quadnocular.
Well, I don't know which
shot's the best.
Yeah, quite
so good.
We were putting stuff together and we're all generating ideas based off of just, we were using random parts and things that we just weren't going to do anything with. And just kit bashing them. And I found these binoculars and I was like, man, we just had just a head full of binoculars.
Yeah, you just kept adding more binoculars. Because he's got four in his head, but I think, I don't know what's going on over there.
They're all binoculars.
Yeah, he doesn't know what's going on. Yeah.
And then,
Man, like, I don't even know what I did here.
I don't know if we named that one.
I don't think we did.
No. Nah.
But I mean, how much more 80s can you get than a dude, a dino dude with a skateboard and jam shorts and some big teeth coming out of his stomach?
And it was so much fun because most of it was like, this is going to be background, so we might as well have fun and just entertain each other. And
We were entertained.
Yeah.
But we were put, so, all right, we're filming at this time frame. And I was like, oh, we have all this time frame. Yeah. And then you get a phone call and he's like, oh, we're like, it got moved up 2 weeks. And you're like, holy crap. So now we're really rushing.
We were pumping them
out. And then it might get a phone call and I'm like, oh, we're like filming this weekend. And I'm like, I'm at a show. Like,
yeah.
And I make my living, you know, not doing this. Like, I can't not work my booth and be at this show.
So weren't you in Atlanta?
And convenient thing, because we filmed it, it was filmed in Atlanta, that I went, they actually put us up at a hotel, Travis and I, and they brought us in a day or two early while they were still building the set. Because I'm like, Travis has got to get back to run the store and I'm out of show. So we got there early to set up so they could take pictures, and then they would move it onto the, I guess, the live set once they had built the set out. But it was just, so we were just crunching to
get it done.
And we did a 12 inch figure line, which isn't entirely, but they were just more generic, like army guys.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I mean, I have like 40 or I don't know. Yeah. There's so many. I mean, I have them on my phone. I don't know if I could figure out what some of these names were. So
I might remember them because I just looked through the bin. So
Kakarl.
Kakarl.
Krosif.
Krosif. Yeah.
Yeah, but where, how would I, how do I?
What
was the nuclear guy?
Oh, Chernobyl.
Chernobyl instead of Chernobyl.
That was my favorite one that I put together.
That was
Motorboater.
Motorboater.
How do I not have these? I have a whole notepad.
Pump coasters, right?
Oh, here we go. Oh, so who is this? So one guy was Cognito. COGNEETO.
There's no telling.
One guy was Brass Tax. TAXX. Yeah. Oh, the guy. So we had a 12 inch guy's legs on a
5 inch guy.
5.5 guy. We called him Leg
Day.
Leg Day.
Is it Mephisto?
Yeah, he was like a head, like, was it like a giant? Was he a giant fist or his head was?
Unihorn?
Yeah.
No dice. What a good name. Leg Sapien.
Yeah. You kept coming up with like leg theme guys.
Legasonic.
Legasonic.
Yeah.
We had Krosef.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Tribulator.
I forget what Tribulator was.
Aqua Dude.
We didn't make Aqua Dude. We wanted to.
Skyclops. That was the
Skyclops.
He had like a plane.
Yeah. Head. It was a Cyclops with like model kit wings and boosters.
Ocules. Tentacles.
Yeah. That was
Chainiac. Oh, there was Craniac. He had like a crane arm.
Yeah, he had a crane arm.
Dump ore. There was Grim Radar. He was a good one.
Yeah, that was a good one.
Tank Cedo.
Yeah.
He had like a tank turret on his head, or
and the tuxedo with the turret.
Yeah. So that was great.
Was it Silas the Stylist?
Oh, and then
Silas the Stylist, Crabocalypse,
And then we had this dinosaur with like
a helicopter
with 50 guns on him.
Oh.
And it's called Artillazilla.
Artillazilla. Yeah. That one looked really cool.
None of it made it in the movie.
The dinosaur with the mustache.
Oh, what was him?
That
was so bad.
We didn't.
You have like a sombrero on or something.
Oh, Senor Boom.
Senor Boom. Yeah. That's right. Andy took a guy.
It's like a ninja.
Like a ninja, and he had like a rocket strapped to his arm. With dynamite, and he was holding flame to it.
Yeah,
yeah, and he was Senor Boom. That was great. So we hope to do that again.
Rasta Roach.
Oh, that's right.
That one was gross.
That's a good one.
That was
one,
so gross.
He didn't have legs.
It
didn't,
looked so gross.
It was like
that's a, the point. His, kids love it.
Torso on like a roach.
Yeah. Good times.
Yeah. So that was fun. So we'll hopefully show you that at some point, maybe on the YouTube video side.
Did anybody look to see if it popped up in the movie or any of this stuff?
No, they didn't use any of it. I think you'll see a Toy Federation, because these were in the Toy Federation booth,
mm-hmm.
even though it was supposed to be
historically accurate.
Wicked Warriors with a
right.
Z. But you see Toy Federation in a shot. I have it on my phone. But yeah, it was fun,
but it was strange. It was a little frustrating because we got there and
they sent us to the wrong place. So we're at the neighborhood where they live.
Right. That they're filming in. Yeah.
That was Ty's house.
Yeah.
And we pull in there and there's like a million people around and we kind of pulled in with the van and it's like, I don't know how I'm backing up. Like, I don't know how to get out of here.
Yeah.
And it was the wrong set.
Right.
And then we meet at the place where they're feeding you and it was like they're feeding kings.
It's like an office building kind of thing.
It was an abandoned office building. That was the Thai headquarters.
Right. And then
they had like a 50 topping omelet station truck and all this 8 different juices. And we just ate a bunch of food and made to go food.
Yeah. It was, you could just eat there all day. And just,
it was like the amount of wasted. Cause there was like, I don't know, maybe everybody ate like it was just all this food.
Yeah.
It's like, it just filled the whole thing with bacon
in your pockets.
No, my buddy did that at a show.
It was just funny though, that like, I mean, everybody has a preconceived notion of what it's like making movies, and you think like, oh, it's this whole sort of clockwork of how things, you know, this guy handles this and that guy handles that. And it wasn't quite that.
It wasn't that polished.
It was, I mean, three different chaos. Locations. Well, and
what I found amazing, it's like if somebody makes a movie, or I guess does anything, you have to reach out to an expert.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
you can't be the master of
everything,
but you might, you know, do all kinds of genre pieces and do all kinds of films. And, I mean, this was,
I mean, it's why they contacted you, right?
Well, yeah.
If they don't know, they don't know.
So, and it was just, you know, so, and it was kind of cool to be a part of something like that. And, you know, the fact that, you know, there's so much filming going on in Georgia.
Yeah, and everything.
And the shop not being, but, you know, 2.5 hours away from Atlanta made it a lot, you know, but, you know, I don't know how often I'm going to get a call to supply toys for a film.
Never know.
I always remember when you watched the Stranger Things episode, maybe it was season one, and the girl's moving and she's moving the Millennium Falcon, or she's L or
yeah,
she's, and I was like, that's not a vintage Millennium
Falcon. No, it was the 95 one,
the power of the
like,
force.
I'm like, you couldn't get a real Falcon? Like, or were they just, I don't want to break it.
Could have been.
I can't, if we're going to mess one up, we're going to do the 90s one. We're not doing the vintage
right,
one.
Right. Yeah. No. Yeah. Yeah.
But no. I was like, if they're not hard to get, I got like 50 alls on the back. Like, so it's just not a problem. But I just thought it was like, you didn't even get that right.
It's a cop out.
Yeah.
Yeah. And they were so accurate with so many things, but I just thought, I was like,
Star Wars wasn't one of them.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. The whole period piece thing, because I think when they talked to you about it, it was, you know, it's technically supposed to be a period piece and like everything's going to be historically accurate. And then when it came out, it was more fantasy than anything else. And not that there's anything wrong with that, but that's what they came to you for.
Well, the show didn't, that element didn't represent, it wasn't as accurate as it, you know,
right.
But it was cool to be there on the set.
Oh yeah.
They recreated an old toy store aisle. But it was still all in the same building. I'm noticing, or you and I are having a hard time keeping. It's much more difficult to keep the store. Not that we don't have enough stuff. We have plenty of stuff.
Yeah.
But a lot of the vintage and key pieces take time to either clean, match up parts, find the best versions of everything.
Yeah.
To put out, because we don't want junk.
Right.
You know, you're getting the best of the best.
Okay? So YouTube has really brought a lot of people from all over.
Well, every day is somebody in the shop because of, you know, YouTube, which is just boggles my mind. It's amazing. And so I had a daughter reach out, and her father is ill. And he loves, I think she might have said it, that that's all he does is watch. And he's probably my age. And so she said, okay, she prefaced the phone call rings and I answer. And a lot of people are freaked when I answer because they don't assume I will answer or that I'm here.
Real person.
And I'm like, and she goes, first thing she says is, are the guys from YouTube going to be there on Thursday? And I said, I'm always here unless I'm at a show, but I'm here. And she goes, good, because my father's very ill and I want to get him to see you and get to the shop. And I'm thinking maybe not far away so they flew here from Indiana. It was like three of them.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it was humbling, amazing that's, you know, and, it's, you know. It was, you know, the health wasn't good.
And
it was important to get here. And then while I'm giving him the full tour, giving him a shirt, you know, just so appreciative. This guy walks in from West Virginia with how many?
600 Marvel Legends.
600 Marvel Legends. And I was like, this is a lot of legends. Like, and this is like a lot of, like, sometimes you might give me a little notice.
Yeah.
Cause even if it's, you know, $10 a legend, it's $6,000. Like, you know, just.
But I mean, right. Just to like not call, load up and
just go showed into Federation. Up. But yeah. The funny thing was, he was like, I was either coming to you or toy department.
Which they're in Ohio, right?
Right, right. Yeah. And I think he just got a job call that took him in another direction. So then it became me. And so then I was like, you know, this is kind of cool. Somebody's from Indiana's here right now. And then this guy's from West Virginia. And then this guy walks in the door so excited. He's got a camera strapped to his chest. And he's like all the way from Tampa, Florida. Woo! It's all excited. And he's like, I'm in here. I'm here. I'm here. I made it. And then he hands me a figure. The sign, which was just weird.
What figure?
It's like a Ninja Turtle figure.
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, so I signed it. And it was like, that's all right. You know, might mess up its value, but I'll sign it for you. And then, so I was like, so we got Indiana, West Virginia, Florida. And then there's a person down this aisle over here. And they go, we're from Oregon. And I was like,
oh, wow. And you named every place. And then there was a couple over by the cases and they're like, we're from Wisconsin. Right.
But I was like, there's no way you came here from Oregon. That's like way far. And they go, well, we were going to a wedding and we detoured.
Right.
But they're making detours to come here. They're figuring out how.
Everyone that was here that day was a detour.
Yeah.
And then.
So, yeah.
So what was it like last weekend? The couple that she brought her husband here for their anniversary?
Oh, that's right.
Right?
Oh, right.
Yeah. I forget where they were from, but like he was stoked.
She surprised him,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So it's like, you see, you know, you got to come to Disney World. It's like I say.
Had a guy from Hawaii.
Yeah.
Another guy from England.
Yeah.
And you said what, Mexico? Someone
there? Yeah, there's been a few people from Mexico, a few people from Canada.
We would get those guys from Mexico that film the store.
Yeah.
And somebody follows them. And so they're doing the whole store. And then all the comments are like, How much is this? How much is that? And then they're asking us, how much is that? How much is that? Then they're messaging.
It's like an auction on their phone.
Yeah. And he buys it all. And I guess he makes a fee.
Yeah. Yeah. Probably however they do that. Yeah. He's getting making money doing that.
It was like a lot of money.
Yeah.
And then I guess, you know, I'm buying all this. Give me a discount. But then they're paying.
Right,
and then he gets the premium on top. But hey, he's doing all the work. So
yeah.
It was, you know, that was cool too.
That reminds me when you were talking about the couple that came here for their anniversary. It's been a few years, but the last scratch that we had went to a couple, and it was the wife buying it for the husband.
Oh, that's right.
For his. It's like it was his birthday, but their anniversary, that's why they were here. So it's like two things. And
well, they were was this the one where they were driving back and they were going through the mountains in Tennessee or something?
Yes.
They had no reception and we posted a picture.
Yeah.
And right when he got reception, he saw it.
Yeah.
And so then they detoured and came here from Tennessee.
Yeah.
And then he's like, ah, and then she's like, get it or do it because he couldn't do it.
Yeah, he wasn't going to. He was like, I'd love to have that, but you know, and it was expensive. Yeah. But she's like, just do it.
It's kind of the same topic, but like when, you know, wife or husband come in and they're like, oh, I want to get this for my wife or husband, but I don't want them to know I got it. So you got to like play into the whole scheme of things. When you walk in and the thing's gone, you're like, oh, I guess it's sold.
I had a good customer. I think his name's Jamie, especially in the old store. And he had me hold these comics. And we don't even do a whole lot with comics. He had me hold these books. And then I guess he told the wife and their anniversary or something was coming up. And so she came in and there's a pile of books that he had set aside. And I was like, oh yeah, they're right here. And she goes, all right, I'm going to buy them. And I was like, great. So when are you going to give them to him? And she's like, oh, in 6 months. I was like, this is going to be a problem because now I told him I'd hold them. And she goes, oh, don't worry. He's going to get them. So it'll all be well. And I go, but now I have to... look like an idiot in front of him for 6 months saying, one of my employees sold them. And
this did not go well.
Blame Travis.
He kind of was a little upset with me because that's not how I would do things.
Yeah.
But then he appreciated that I didn't reveal the secret.
Six months later.
But it was tough because I was not being truthful for the greater good.
For the greater good.
But I don't know, like more and more people just coming from out of state.
Yeah.
Oh, it's amazing.
Tennessee. It's West Virginia.
We had a family come here from Florida. And then I'm like, whenever you say you're from Florida, I'm like, oh, I'm from Florida. Where? And then they said, Hialeah. And I'm like, Hialeah is like a suburb of Miami. I guess it's the easiest way to say it. And I was like, I was just with my buddy at Toy Lana. He has a shop in Miami.
Ryan's friend.
Hialeah.
Ryan's friend.
Right.
Ryan's friend.
And then they didn't know about it.
Yeah.
But they knew about me in Miami and came here. So then I said, you got to go check out my buddy's shop. So they go, all right, we're going to do it. We'll go Wednesday. So then I call Tony and I'm like, they'll feel bad. Like, this guy in your neighborhood doesn't know about your store, but he knows about my store. So he came here, but I told him about your store. So now he's going Wednesday and he went and he bought a bunch of stuff and then he did a humongous trade with him. So, you know, it's funny how it still ultimately helped and benefited him.
Yeah.
It's just weird how, you know, it's like when Pixel Dan did the first time he did the store. I swear for 3 months straight, we had a new customer in the shop and a lot of them were local that didn't even know I existed.
Almost every day.
And we're like, it took watching a dude on YouTube many states away to know that there was a shop 5 minutes from their house that they just maybe never ventured down this road. Like, so it's just crazy how all that works.
Or the people that come for the, the video games and they walk in here and they're like, oh, we didn't know you guys were here. Look at all this cool stuff.
Yeah.
And then that turns into
flip, right?
Yeah. They get rid of some old games, get a little bit of money, and they come back.
It goes both ways, right? Because they'll sell their toys and they go over there and buy video games.
Yeah.
Or vice versa. Or they stumble in here And, you know, because, you know, well, the crazy thing is we've been doing this how long? And we don't even have a sign out. And it's still,
yeah,
it still works.
Pictures of toys on the windows. That's all you need.
Yeah, well, yeah. It says it on the glass, but I don't have like a marquee or like
got an open sign.
Yeah. They'll find it.
Giant. We have a big giant inflatable Darth Vader.
We could put it on the roof.
We could put it on the roof.
It is the Burger King display. That would be cool.
Yeah, but I don't want to go up there and maintain it. So
yeah,
no, it's terrible.
Some kid will shoot a thing at it.
Yeah, that's it.
Because that's what kids will do.
Hours of work gone.
Big storm comes through.
Yeah, gonna mess it up.
But then that, you know, the exposure that and it's great. But now the other side of that is we have to fill cases more and more often. And at one time it was just, well, rare guys, they're tough to put together, tough to get their accessories, build them, price them, display them and all that, sell them. But now common guys are getting a lot tougher. I know, what was it? I went, there was a guy that was here for Motu, for He-Man figures. And he had purchased the rare variant web store blue gun. And it's Taiwan. So he wanted a Taiwan web store. So I was like, it shouldn't be hard. Taiwan stuff's the easiest stuff to find. Right. But apparently we have more Malaysia or Malaysian web stores than Taiwan. So I was like, So I did find him one. He just wanted the figure. He didn't want anything extra, you know, but web store's a common guy, and I wouldn't have thought of that being a problem. But then, you know, this kind of reminds me when we first kind of started, it used to take a long time just to get a He-Man sword.
Oh, yeah.
And now they're selling more and more, and now it's getting down to a couple of swords.
But then another collection, you know, yeah, it seems to, a lot of times if we talk about it.
It manifests.
Right? It's like, we need a pterodrome. We haven't had a pterodrome in a while. And then not too long, the pterodrome will come in or something, or the piece of one that helps the thing in the back.
I used to pick a lot on Andy about Night Force.
You still do?
Yeah. Well,
explain with Andy. Yeah, Marvel the start Man. Of that.
Okay, so in G.I. Joe, some of the hardest of the sublines to do is Night Force. They were all just repaints that were at Toys R Us, Toys R Us exclusive. And Andy's like, hey, you know, I'm thinking I'm going to collect all the Joes, but you know, I'm just going to do, and I've heard this story. Yeah, I heard it before Andy had said
it
this.
Wasn't all that, it was going to stop at a year.
Yeah, he was going to stop. He was like, I'm just going to do
it. Ryan egged me on. Yeah. He was like, just do the whole line.
Was it, your first was like, I'm going to do 82 to 93. Was that
91.
Yeah.
91.
Yeah.
Okay. So 82 to 91. And so then all the time I would say to Andy, like, well, what about Night Force? Because it was 89. And he was like, nah, it's too expensive. It's ridiculous. I'm never going to get it.
Yeah.
And then somewhere in there, he just kind of like confessed to me one day. He's like, I think I'm going to do Night Force. And I was like, yeah, yes. Yeah.
And then, you know, Ryan eggs me on. He's like, are you going to 91? You might as well go to 94. You're completing my collection for me. You might as well do it for you.
Just do it.
I'm like, okay.
Well, because what happens, anybody who collects anything, there's always this, well, I'm only going to go to this, or I'm just going to get the characters I like, or because we hear it all day from everybody.
Yeah.
And we know where it leads.
Yeah.
So we know you're just convincing yourself.
You're lying to yourself.
Right. It's like, I'm just going to, you know, it's like whether it's Marvel or it's Funko or it's, you know, I'm just going to get the movie ones. Just gonna get all the Skeletors.
Yeah,
not gonna get the He-Man, or maybe I'll just get the He-Man and the Skeletors. But I really like Hordak or Trapjaw, so I'm just gonna get it. I'll just and then it just
get them all.
Just do the run, and then if this is what you do and it gives you enjoyment, and even if you get them all, you're just gonna go to another line.
Foreign.
Because what are you just gonna? I got all my Joes. I'm done. And then now what do? It's the whole hunt.
Collect Marvel Legends.
Shut up.
Well, right. He's got to buy all.
Well, Andy got me back because I was getting almost all the Marvel Legends. He's like, yeah, you should just get them all. I was like, nah, I don't need them all. And then it was like, well. Yeah.
Even the Eternals, you got them.
I got full price.
Got them.
The only guy.
The only guy.
Toy Federation. They paid full price.
The only guy.
Sucker.
Right.
But anyway, so Andy, now he's collecting Night Force, and back to what you were saying about willing it into existence. It was just the other day, Andy was like, be nice if some Night Force came in. And then the very next day, like two or three guys came.
Oh, right.
Yep.
And you never get them. You never get them.
Never.
Was that the one where you went on Andy's desk and you started?
I started sorting it.
And I told him, made him stop.
Going through my files.
I was like, you're taking the best part away from, like, because... Like, if you get a Star Wars, you know, it's like if, I don't know.
You want to sort it. Yeah.
That's the best part, you know, because somebody's like, oh, you don't want people to sort the stuff because so you could take advantage or whatever. I was like, no.
No, it's fun.
We
it's
still great. Are going to do the value, but I want to.
Yeah.
And then I've had customers, they'll see you doing it and they're, oh, that's for this. And I was like, stop.
Yeah. Yeah.
Get your own store and do that. That's what. That's the that's fun. Why I have. That's I live for those moments.
Yeah.
Not. I don't want you doing it.
Well, after you told me that, I took the tray and just went. Yeah, yeah. And then Andy came in and did the same thing.
Yeah, yeah.
He still got the enjoyment.
But it's fun.
It is.
Yeah.
It is.
Like that's. I mean, you want a chest? Well, speaking of chest, right? We just got this crazy collection. It was in this big brown wooden chest.
Yeah.
And then these two guys come in and they're like, oh, we got a trade. And I was like, bring it in. And they're like, really? I'm like, well, that's kind of how it works. Like, you just bring it in. And they're like, oh, it's heavy. So then the two of them bring it in. They set it on the ground. And they go, don't lock it because we don't have the key.
Yeah.
And he goes, this chest was made in Turkey. So we were there as a kid.
Yeah.
And we just start pulling out G1s and He-Man and Star Wars and... I think that might have just been it.
Yeah, it was all heavy, big lines.
But like no Scareglows or the, you know, Ninjors.
Yeah.
But like 90% was complete.
Yeah, like there might have been like a missile missing on a Transformer, but usually when you get them, you might get a gun or you'll get a Transformer, three missiles, broke arm or something, but it was all there, pristine, went straight to the case.
And now it's gone.
And now it's gone.
So he had all the Ewoks, all 8 Ewoks, mm-hmm. and they were all complete.
Gone.
Well, there's
gone.
The power of the Force. So it's like we so seldomly get power of the Force. I wish we got it more. But he had all the power of the Force Ewoks. But he didn't have Luke Stormtrooper pop up R2. Yeah. Like, you know, but so he was collecting at the right time. I guess like the Ewoks more than the other characters.
He skipped them. Because everything that was in the chest, it wasn't like he bought it on eBay or whatever. This was his when he was a kid.
Yep.
And it just stayed put away for years and years.
Never played with.
Not really.
Yeah. Those Ewoks, everything was pretty minty. The Biker Scouts, the Snowtroopers, the cape wasn't. Like it was an incredible.
Yeah, the He-Man stuff was a little bit worse off.
Yeah.
I think that might have been what he did play more with, but I mean, really, it wasn't that bad. It's just a couple of scuffs and things, but yeah, one of the better collections to come in that covered everything from like a short period of time. It's like a little time capsule.
Yeah, no, that's the beauty too, is you just never know, because we'll get people, they'll come in and there's like, anything new come in? Like any new trades? And I was like,
new?
Well, they yeah. look around and there's always new stuff right, out, but right. they're really eager to know and I was like, when's the last time you were here? And multiply that times 10 times the amount of days. And that's how many trades came in. So it's like,
I mean, we can't even remember what comes in on trade.
Yeah. And we're pretty good at that, but it's getting so hard to remember things.
Well, cause it all gets put away. It all has a home. So we don't, you know, cause we're still... And this is another thing that more Andy and Travis have worked on is as I've been trying to empty this back room, they're constructing lines that don't have representation yet.
And there's a lot of them.
To be in this store when the store has more glass cases and more shelving and more rows so that when we do that official grand opening 9-10 years later, which we've never had one.
Right.
It just goes to show, it's like, you don't need a sign. You don't have to be on the main road. We're on a cut street.
Word of mouth.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, you don't let it fool you. You don't have to have fancy, I got tacky green floor.
Vintage.
Green carpeting.
Yeah.
That's cleaned every 10 to 20 minutes.
Yeah.
I do clean it a lot.
Yeah.
I do. I really do. Yeah. Very particular about my carpet.
The, what was it? I don't know if either one of y'all have heard it yet, but somebody came in and they were like, I heard about your store. I saw a bumper sticker.
Really?
Yeah.
I hadn't heard that one yet.
Yeah. So, and we've, you know, been handing them out for a while now, and I was kind of surprised we haven't heard it more, but I mean, it's almost always YouTube, which is great. That's what it's there for.
I don't go out much, so I don't know.
Yeah.
I come here and then I go home. I go to sleep.
But
so I don't, you know, and I'm driving here early in the morning, so I don't see that many cars.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's the other thing too, is you get a lot of questions. Yeah. Over Facebook
and Instagram
I think people are thinking like there's like 20 people working here.
We accomplish more than most people do with double or triple the staff. That's clear, because I know shops that have a lot of employees and I'm like, you're not doing anywhere near what we're doing with three times the staff, but they don't have, it's, I guess, quality over quantity.
But that comes to the whole thing, what you were saying earlier about like people are shocked when they get you on the phone. It's like, well, it's.
Yeah.
You.
Well, who else are you going to, you know, well, I guess you could get either of you guys, but I mean, usually it's.
We're working on that.
Yeah.
A store phone.
Yeah.
But then it's funny because we really don't get time for a lot of that extra stuff because we're just putting stuff in cases, prepping stuff and building things.
I always feel like if I'm idle, I'm wasting time. So I have to I don't sit. This is odd for me. Like I stand the entire day. And if I'm on the phone, I'm pacing.
Yeah.
Cause I can't. Like this whole process here is odd.
You should be standing and marching as you're talking.
Yeah.
Holding the phone.
I need to be walking. Cause it's like if, you know, when I'm at home, I'm either trimming bushes or reorganizing or sweeping, or like I have to constantly be doing something. Otherwise I feel like, you know, there's only so much time and I don't know. It's just me. I get, but it's more like I don't know if it's a work ethic or a habit, or I got it from my dad, or like if he sees a little piece of paper on the ground when he's walking, he picks it up.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter if it's his trash or not.
Like, yeah.
Like it drives me nuts. So I have to pick it up. And if somebody walks by it or doesn't pick it up, that drives me nuts too. Like, you know, there's a trash in the parking lot. I just pick it up. Like it's, but, you know, but then granted, it's my parking lot. I wanted to, and then there's, you know, but I guess that's partially why we're where we are.
Yeah.
Is the, you know, don't give up. Just keep and just, but then, you know, I guess you could work too much. You know, my dad would say that. My dad just works like crazy. And then he's like, now that he's older and he's like, maybe you need a little bit more. But, you know, it's like the machine's growing and it's growing. And then you add another employee to hope you can get a little bit more time. But then it's grown enough to, well, that's just to maintain now. Maybe you need another
Yeah.
employee. I mean, again, these are all good problems to have.
I was thinking about it when we first moved over here in the first back room, and we didn't even have a middle aisle. It was just like, it's pretty much just one wall and just boxes the other side. And there was four totes that was just Transformers.
Right.
And now there's 25.
And then there's a wall of boxed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
There's a tote with 50 Optimus Primes in it, probably.
Oh, yeah. Well, you have to be careful because people are going to be like, I want one of those 50. It's like, well,
we might have two nozzles and two hoses left.
Are you okay with broken
there'll be
arms and no legs? Man. Yeah. Spider webs in the cab.
Yeah. Oh, that, you know, you can get that out, though.
Travis likes cleaning.
Could be a spider in there. Yeah. Does occur to me sometimes when I go back there and open it up, like, eh.
I mean, yeah, there's so many things that we've, I don't know if you want to call it condensed, organized.
Well, it keeps getting better. Like, we just had somebody here earlier today. They have a shop in Georgia, a great shop. And they had never been to the store. And they got a pretty big shop. And they walked around, like, kind of gave them the full tour. And they're like, you're so organized. It's just like, we need to get more organized like this. You have bins and all this. And to me, it's still not good.
Work in progress constantly.
It's great.
Yeah.
But it can always get better because you may refine, you know, like there was a time where it's just like, you know, all green missiles are in a bin. Okay. But let's make a bin for that vehicle and then a smaller bin for the accessories. And so then everything has a place, but you have to have enough volume to even, why waste a bin? Cause I got three missiles. So, but where did to the point?
That's like when we sorted Power Rangers.
Oh yeah. It's unfortunate. We're not as learned in Power Rangers. We all were past that, but you know, it's kind of been a dreadful thing for a while that we need to sort this. We need to organize this. So Ryan was out of town and me and Andy sorted them into big Power Rangers, little Power Rangers, monsters,
lightning.
We did pretty good. Well, yeah, I mean, we did good, but like
way better than what it was.
Right. It's a general sort. Right. And now we can go a bin at a time.
So was it this week? I did like six Megazords out of those bins, so it was easier.
Yeah.
And then there's like six. That's the crazy thing. Out of all these bins, it's like this is all we could complete.
Yeah.
Either chrome shot, something's broke, or we're one piece away, which, you know,
all the time.
Goes back to the 50 questions a day I get about, I want you to ship a part. And I'm like, we don't ship parts.
Yep.
And I wish I had so many parts that I could help everybody, but it's
finite.
So, you know, if there's,
but I mean,
a million holes, G.I. Joe holes of a Mauler, maybe 10% of them could ever be completed out of everything that's remaining.
But I mean, what's more impressive, walking in here and seeing that completed item or seeing something? A hole in a bag on a wall, or
you guys need a Mobat? We got five bins.
Yeah,
I've seen
all broke tips.
Broke tips.
No battery cover.
Where they hang incomplete vehicles in giant bags.
Yeah.
On a wall.
I've seen it.
No, that's not good.
I don't like that.
Nah,
but it might work for them, but I don't like it.
Nah, I don't. I don't either.
But I'm not a fan of the bags, and a lot of shops do that, and it may work for them. I just don't like it. All right, thanks for watching. This is we're just loving this. It's
fantastic,
and we can't the support this channel. Yeah,
it's fun.
Oh yeah,
YouTube, and then this podcast itself is unbelievable. I mean, how fast it's grown, and that you guys,
I'm very pumped for it.
Are really digging it. So, thank you.
It's awesome.